Well, we have arrived at the 18th lecture of the 5th London ACC, 19th November, 88. And we have arrived at the point, this late in the course, we have arrived at the point where I can tell you how to start and run a session. The reason that an engram remains so hidden from the public view, to say nothing of the professional view, is because they are difficult to audit, and they require understanding and experience in handling, which was so far beyond the last century psychotherapist, that even had he approached one, he would not have been able to handle it himself, even vaguely. He would not have had the disciplines necessary to handle it in a patient. He would not have had any of the understandings necessary to run it. He would not have known 200 and some Dianetic axioms, 57 Scientology axioms. Boy, we're starting to get an idea of ignorance, aren't we? Because in essence, all these things are necessary to run an engram. The discipline necessary to handle a session today so far exceeds the ability of a psychoanalyst that he would not have a value opinion. His opinion would be of no value concerning an engram at all, because we could have only one certainty with regard to it, that he would flub it. Now, why would he flub it? He has no discipline by which to handle or control a patient. Let's get a look at this level of control. Well, Mrs. Gottrocks, here we start at the beginning of our hour. I hope you paid the secretary, came in. Now just lie down on the couch there. Well, either of the couches, doesn't matter. I'll sit in the chair, that's all right. Feel like sitting in the chair, it's okay. It's all right. All right, now start talking. All right, 1 hour later, he now interjects his next auditing command. Well, that will be all today, Mrs. Gottrocks. Goodbye. Now, this level of stiff control, this precise grip on the patient, would not admit of an engram being contacted, run, come close to, or anything else. What is amazing is how these men dare. How these men dare set themselves up as psychotherapists. The impertinence of it escapes me. It takes discipline. First and foremost, what you have to do with somebody is handle and control the patient. That's the first thing you've got to do. You've got to control his outflow. You've got to direct and control his attention. You have to control his physical position in space. And only a Scientologist could do that. Dianetic auditors flubbed these things like mad. They did. They were a good crew, but they flubbed these things like mad. Their own ability to to handle and control somebody else was slack, so that we got very spotty results amongst auditors. Very spotty results amongst preclears. Some would run well, some would run poorly. And if they ran poorly, well, that was too bad. Somebody else would come along and say, let's see, the definition of auditing is sweetness and light. And the more sweetness there is, the less light there's going to be. So if we all sit here in the dark and be sweet, we'll have it made. Thousands of hours later, they still didn't have it made. Just a matter of control, communication, and havingness. Now, the moment that an individual in processing somebody does something wrong, runs a bad control, gets a non sequitur command, flubs it, stumbles it, he lays in an ARC break of one kind or another. And he runs the session up the chimney. He's got to pick up the ARC break and keep rolling. An ARC break can wipe out the picture on which you are working. Remember that. It can wipe it straight out. And you want to get the picture back? Don't go thinking you've run into an unreality posture. Just look at your lousy auditing. You got it? Don't blame it all on the PC. Take the responsibility for the session. I'll tell you what a good Scientologist is. He's a person capable of taking responsibility for any and all banks. Any and all banks. If he's capable of taking responsibility for banks he's never even seen yet, he'll be a good Scientologist. Furthermore, the odd part of it is, his own doesn't trouble him very much if he does this. Responsibility for banks. So we say, well, he's crazy. Now, that's the way it is. Well, all right, that's the way it is if you're not auditing him. But are you capable of saying, well, I'll take responsibility for that crazy bank? All right, if you're willing to take responsibility for that crazy bank, by the way, the odd part of it is, you never have that bank kicking you in the teeth very much any more than your own does. Your own bank stays quiet and patted on the head to the degree that you're willing to take responsibility for it. If you're having a bad time with your case, that's because there are areas of your bank which you say are other determined. And that becomes almost a definition of an engram. It's a mental image picture containing other determinism to such a degree that it can move or change the being, habits, customs, life of the individual. When you see somebody gripping cans solidly and twitching and swiveling about and so on, if you were to ask him at that moment what he's doing or where that force is coming from, he'd say something else is doing it. Something else is doing it. He has individuated at this point. You'll find out that very few of the pictures in the bank have other determinism in them. But that other determinism actually has a physiological shift contained in it of one kind or another, and it is moving and positioning and controlling the individual. And that quantity called other determinism, that quality called other determinism, is what makes the engram deadly. The individual has no control over it since he has taken no responsibility for it. He's gone on for ages saying, well, that was a very bad break there when they took me over, kicked me around, and so forth. It's an other determinism. You understand that the physiological shifts, wiggles, changes, somatics, impressions, inabilities to cope of the individual while he is the preclear, while he's running an engram, you understand that these are simply another determinism somewhere around. an apparency of another determinism. Something else is moving him. Now, you'll get that the next time you see your PC go, something like that. You say, what's moving your head? Just say this. You'll learn to talk to a PC as well as audit him. Even yet. You say, what's moving your head? I don't know. You say, what's moving your head? He says, something out there is moving my head. Hey, what is this? You mean you got a PC? And he's running a body. And he's getting along fine in life in general. And you run into an incident and something else moves his head. Now, you're not over there moving his head. Who is? It's an interesting question. There isn't any who. He has an area of other determinism. Just an area of other determinism, that's all. He is actually capable of mocking something up which is totally other determinism. Now, that's a fabulous thing for anybody to be able to do, and he should be complimented for it. But that's why engrams move them about and shift them about. And an individual who is trying to audit will not be able to audit very well unless he can take responsibility for other determinism. When he gets into an engram, there are apparently three people present. One is the auditor, one is the preclear, and another is an engram. And it's just as though you had somebody else standing there giving the PC counter orders. That's the way it seems, you know? You get a good look at this, you get a total understanding of this, you've got it made. The PC isn't doing it. He's perfectly willing to get in there. But another determinism says, thou shalt not peek. Thou shalt not move in any direction except as I tell thou. You got, evidently, in an auditing session, if you look it over from an apparency basis, you have three determinisms. The auditors, the PCs, and the engrams. And now what do you think about an auditor who lets one person be present called an engram? Well, that's still more granting of beingness than most people give out. He's at least given the engram total right, liberty, fraternity, quality, squalidity, whatever it is. He's at least given the engram some beingness. Well, that's more than a psychotherapist did of the last century. Now, let's add two more items in here, and we get the PC and the auditor. And we have our triumvirate of government. The PC trying to hold down the bank while he gets through the auditor's flubs. The auditor trying to control the PC and making an error between the PC's determinism and the other determinism of the engram, lumping these up into one and blaming the PC for everything that the engram does. That's a good way to keep PC in their pitching, of course, isn't it? Never really realizing the PC is trying to stay in there and pitch, but there's somebody else around saying, what you doing? Oh, well, I can do better than that. Let's see now. Can't we give you a pain in the right ear? That'd be nice for you, wouldn't it? This small-spoken voice is not audible to or recognized by the preclear. He doesn't know what's happening most of the time. The funny part of it is, given half a chance, he'll find out. And given good control and good guidance by the auditor, a minimum of breaks, and those breaks which occur cleaned up, he'll not only find out, he'll take over that zone of other control, and the engram will be flat. Now, about this poor fellow that sits there and he says, well, something keeps putting up a picture here, and something keeps running a cinema strip, and something keeps running this, and something keeps doing that. And just now, a small train appeared with signs on the cars and started to go slowly around my head. Boy, he's sitting back there in total apathy, confronted with this other determinism that is going round and round and cutting him up and moving him around and dictating what temper he shall have and how he shall spit. Dictating, telling him all about it. Only it has no kind intentions at all. It wants to hurt him. Total goal. Hurt him, mess him up, confuse him, and so on, because that was the intention, usually, of the people who were around him, which created the other determinism, which he has obediently ever since mocked up. Now, you shouldn't feel strange that the fellow's going on mocking it up, because he's mocking up something he isn't mocking up, because it contains another determinism, and he has orders to keep on mocking it up, you see, because it is another determinism, and he isn't mocking it up. And this slight confusion, brings about the other determinism character of this thing. Well, the thing has mass, has energy, has space, time, perceptics, one kind or another, and has in addition to that, has significances. Now, I'll tell you all how to win in running a session. Always jump on the significances and avoid the masses. You win, Graham. Because that's what an engram does. Got it? Always avoids the masses and goes in for the significances. When you're asking people to confront things, why, always keep asking them, always keep asking them, how does he feel about it now? And can he confront any difficulties he's having at the moment? And, can he confront the changes? Or if you want to run a thoroughgoing session, what part of that change can you confront? Good. Good. That's real fine. What part of the change can you confront? What part of the start can you confront? What part of the stop can you confront? That's really good, isn't it? That takes over the other control determinism of the engram, obviously. Always get the conditions. What part of her age can you confront, you know? What part of the morning can you confront there? It's pretty bad. And if somebody here doesn't realize I'm being sarcastic, you better go back to HPA, huh? Yes, you could practically kill a PC if you held him in an engram and asked him to look at nothing but significances and never let him look at a mass. You could half kill somebody. You're as-ising what mass there is in it without even letting him confront it. No, what you've got to do is handle terminals and masses, and you make sure you specialize in it before you go monkeying around with significances. If you don't know how to guide somebody through something, just say, let's see now. He keeps talking about a car running into a spaceship. Now, let's see. Your first thought, well, what part of how it happened can you confront, you know? Because you want to know how it happened or something of the sort. Well, that's a lousy way to think about it. That is utterly grim. What you want to ask, you don't know what to ask, is just pick out the last largest mass he mentioned and cut it up into little bits and pieces and let him confront various parts of it. He said spaceship and car. Well, after you've gotten all through asking how many parts there are to this spaceship, and if there's a top to the spaceship and a bottom to the spaceship, and your imagination may be totally, utterly stultified. Remember, there's still fronts and backs of spaceships and so on. And you would even win if you drew yourself a little picture of a spaceship on a pad there in front of your e-meter. And the seat said there's a back
and a front and a top and a bottom. There must be another side to it. Oh, yes, there's probably an inside to it. You understand, this fellow's blowing, he's messing you up, he's chopping you up and so forth. The confusion going in the session is pretty high. And it sounds funny that an auditor would need any kind of a crutch, and actually if he's in there pitching, he doesn't need such a crutch. But there are times when his senses are reeling because just the impact of that much other determinism that he and somebody who is or is not cooperating are trying to hold down. And if he just drew himself a little picture of a spaceship, just a big oval. He says, it's got top, bottom, front, back. All right. Can you confront the top? Can you confront the bottom? Can you confront the top? Can you confront the back? Can you confront the inside? Can you confront the top of the inside? Can you confront the bottom of the inside? Let's see, spaceship. Now he's getting in the groove. He probably has controls. Does it have controls? Good. Can you confront the controls? Well, can you confront the left-hand side of the controls? Can you confront the right-hand side of the controls? You see, real brilliant inspirations at these points. But you would be surprised how it helps you out. Because the one thing you mustn't do is let the engram go on running madly without being confronted. Because it winds your PC up in a tight knot. Got the idea? You pick out the parts. And this fellow says, well, all of a sudden, I don't know, it's all collapsed. Or it's all gone, boom, and there was this terror. And I don't know what, is that a, no, that isn't a scene. I don't know what's going on here. Boy, don't you dare let him get to a point of not knowing what's going on there. Be right in there, crawling down his throat. Got the idea? Be right there, snap. Be right there on top of him. Stand on his chest if you've got to. But keep his attention on the engram, not your comlegs. And start naming parts if you can't do anything else. Now, in an engram running in general, in an engram run, it isn't how well you repeat the auditing command that counts. It's how much engram you get confronted that counts. And that's all. Old-time auditing. All they were doing was trying to get something run and erased. They didn't have any niceties. They made lots of flubs. Now, you're very rich. You can repeat the auditing command. It does go through. You can run the auditing command. You can just keep running it and running it. What part of that incident can you confront? What part of that incident can you confront? And probably you'd win sooner or later. But if your PC starts to go up in smoke on this and you're not in there to help them, then you've got nothing to mine anymore. It's a matter of what incident. So a lot of chatter has to come from you, the auditor, to keep the incident there to be run. And deafness sometimes does not totally serve you. You just missed, that's all. So you can miss. Well, admit the fact you can miss, but never admit the fact you can't recover a miss. You can miss plenty. Anybody misses. What the devil? You're running a picture. You're not looking at the picture. It's probably totally disjointed, upside down. Maybe 100 years of track bounced on the head of the tip right ear of a wolf or something, you know? 100 years of pictures just collected on the head of a wolf. You say, what in the name of common sense is this all about, you know? He can't see anything. He doesn't seem to know anything about it. It's just a mess. Well, there's two things you can do. Find its time. That's the E-meter. Just go into an E-meter scout right away. Repetitive auditing command has nothing to do with an E-meter scout. Nothing. Just nothing. They aren't even connected. And you've got no time to throw in a bridge. Those running along perfectly fine. Well, he says, I could confront the cat over there in the corner, and I could confront the bed, and I could confront the roof, and I could confront the little tarpaulin outside there, and
I can confront this, and I can confront... Boom, thud, boom. It's not there anymore. You're sitting there saying, now, what part of that incident can you confront? And he says, I don't know, there isn't any incident. You say, I'll repeat the auditing command. What part of that incident can you confront? He says, I don't know. He says, there is no incident. You say, what part of that auditing command can you confront? And he says, well, I'll let you in on something. Central organization will not pay your funeral expenses when they are incurred in the line of duty along that particular auditing flub. If it has been established clearly and irrevocably that you continue to repeat the auditing command after there was no incident to confront and thus kept repeating a command that couldn't be executed, you'll just have to get your funeral expenses someplace else. If there's anything left to bury. Because you got everything coming to you that you should get coming to you at that point. First place, you should have noticed the thing was slipping in somehow or another. Where were you? Out for lunch? And he says, they usually give you plenty of warning, you know. They say, and you say, what part of that auditing command can you confront or some other thing? And he says, there isn't any incident here. I haven't got any auditing command. There's nothing to confront. I don't know where I am. I got a horrible pain in my stomach. And it doesn't have anything to do with anything. We were running. And here I am sitting here in present time. And he's just winding up. The only thing he's doing, he's trying to get you to catch the ball. And if you won't catch the ball... he'll lose confidence in you in an awful hurry. Therefore, you should be right in on top of him, both knees into his chest, looking into his left eyeball or something of the sort, getting a good solid squint at this for him. And you say, well, where did it go? I don't know. You say, well, did you see it vanish? And he says, yes, it went up that way. And you say, not, and then what happened? That's asking him to confront a condition. You say, what was the last mass we had there? He says, well, I don't know. You don't know. I think it was the tarpaulin on the shed. He says, the tarpaulin on the shed. Is that the last mass we had? Well, draw yourself a little picture of a tarpaulin, if you can't think of anything else. And you say, well, let's see. Can you see the top of the tarpaulin? Can you confront the bottom of the tarpaulin? Can you confront the top edge of it, the bottom edge of it, the right-hand side? Has it got any... brilliant, you know. Got any eyelets in it? Get smart right about that time. He told you there was a mass. Go back and find the mass, the last largest mass he mentioned. Well, while you're running this out, caught by surprise... you just grabbed on to the first thing he said. Get your knees on his chest, anchor him down real good so he can't get out from under because he's about to blow because you already flubbed it. You should have noticed it was slipping. He said the tarpaulin outside. Now, wait a minute. Where were you? Where were you? Out for lunch? The tarpaulin outside. He was describing a roomie. The cat in the corner. The bed. This. That. And the tarpaulin outside, and then, what is the incident? You've run into a bunk or something of the sort. He's done a bunk. Get the idea? He didn't even know he was doing a bunk in the incident. Now, the last largest mass that you could confront that he told you about that he had any recall of was the tarpaulin. So you're going to get the bunk all over again. We don't care whether you get close into the bunk or far from the bunk or otherwise. It'll all come apart in the long run, providing you're on the ball. So you say, well, at the top of the bottom, you've run out of parts of the tarpaulin. Now, how about the niceties of throwing in an auditing bridge at this point and say, now we're going, it's all right with you, we're going to run another command. We're going to say what part of the tarpaulin could you confront. Now, what is the English definition from the word part? The Hazzi will not pay your funeral expenses. If you get killed in the line of duty, all right, they'll pay your funeral expenses. But not if you let that one go that way and threw in a bridge and didn't treat it with the same emergency level that it required, because it doesn't match the reality of the situation at all. You were going along into a somnolent, don't confront the pre-clear, sort of a, what part of that is he confront? And you lulled into deep security by the fact that he said a cat. Now, a cat is a nice, comfortable thing to have in a room. Everybody knows. And he said a cat, and that made you think of all the nice cats, you know. And he said, isn't it nice that he's got a cat there to confront? And I could confront the bed, he says. Yes, the bed. And you say, isn't that nice? Probably nice soft feather bed. He's talking about that period there a couple hundred years ago. They had lovely feather bed set. And so forth. And you're just pleasant and quiet and everything's going along well. And then he says, and I could confront the tarpaulin outside. And you say, well, isn't that nice? Probably a little woodshed out there. You know, filling in all the details that aren't there. Just gratuitously writing the whole script so that you won't have to do anything about it, or mocking it up or something of the sort. Running some mock-up you just mocked up, having nothing to do with the PC. And this guy all of a sudden says, where'd he go? What's this all about? Well, that isn't the time to ask him, what have you got there? I'll just let you in on something. Because the inevitable answer is, he's either got something that scared him green, or he's got nothing. And the wrong thing to do is indulge in a long line of yap on the subject of what he's got there. What do you have there now? What do you have there now? It's the same command as the engram will now give me another picture to look at. The engram will now give me another picture to look at. The engram will now give me another picture to look at. Where are you going? Honest, you can't even collect money for that tour. You're just an accompanying auditor. Well, you're not accompanying even the PC now. You're accompanying the engram wherever it might go. You've lost control of the session. The instant you do something like that, you've lost control of the session. The second says, what have you got now? What have you got there? Huh? What have you got there? He blows up in your face. You only got somebody like yourself to thank. The answer usually is, I haven't got a goddamn thing here. I got nothing here. What do you think I'm protesting about? You get the idea. The trick is, find the last mass he mentioned and go backwards. Now, the bouncer is not the tarpaulin. Whatever threw him out of it is in the room. Otherwise, he wouldn't have left the room. You get the idea? He wouldn't have left this incident room. So if you pick up the last largest mass, you at least get him back toward it. See? Now, use the same law again. Pick up the mass just before the mass. Got the idea? And he'll be back in the last stable area. And what you're trying to find is the last area in which he had any stability whatsoever. And you let him get out of that, he'll go racketing around through the rest of the incident, up, back, forward, and up and down, around, and gone, and there is no engram, and so it's unreal, and so on. Your ARC breaks laid in on top of it, squash what remaining reality is left, and you finally wonder, where's the picture? Where's the picture? Well, I wonder what happened here. Well, I'll tell you what happened there. The auditor went to sleep. That's what happened there. Now, at any instant that you wonder what the hell is going on, to be technical, locate it in time. You know, a PC will always take time out to get it located in time. Do you ever know that? If the worst is the worst, why, you just go right straight into some kind of a scout. What part of that instant you confront? I confront the cat. What part of that instant you confront? Confront the bed. What part of that instant you confront? Well, I confront the tarpaulin. What part of that instant you confront? Go on. So we've got another string to the bow. We could say at that moment, well, let's get this thing located in time again, shall we? Ah, he's happy for you to do that. Yeah, let's get this thing located in time. All right.
Over and under, backwards and forwards, and upside down. Get it? You could peg it in time. But don't come up with another time, and don't let him start running something else. If you peg it in time, you still have to go back and run the rule of the largest parts. The rule of the largest terminals. The last largest terminal he confronted. The rule of the largest terminal. The last largest terminal. He gets lost, he loses the incident, you go back to the last largest terminal. But you could go into a time scout. He'll not object to either one. He'll say, that's more like it. This guy is on the ball. He's standing in there with heart of oak and fingers of good robot, 91K Mark 7, double-tested steel, holding this engram firmly in place, and we'll get through it somehow. Otherwise, it's liable to go chroming around. We've been long enough trying to find this doggone thing. Now, one of the things that an auditor normally assumes is that the PC is unwilling to face the engram. That is not true. That is not true at all. What is true is that the engram, being faced, discharges and dictates emotions and reactions to the PC. When you got that thing down, you really know what you're looking at. So if you always count on the willingness of the PC, always at all times count on the willingness of the PC, recognize what his behavior is stemming from, you've got control of the situation. You continue to have control of the situation from there on out. This rule of the last largest terminal won't let you down, because it's an incident location. But there is this sort of a thing that can go on. You can have groupers of one kind or another which collect pictures. And if you run into a grouper which collects pictures and you get it located firmly on the track, the odd part of it is you're going to have to relocate it all the time. It'll always be getting out from under. He'll tell you, if you ask him, that there are pictures slammed on top of this picture. Now, there's a confused mass of pictures. I would say that it is totally outside the skill of a Dianetic auditor to take apart a grouper which is collecting pictures. He just wouldn't know what was going on. He'd have nothing to take it apart with. What do you get the person to run through? Well, there's nothing there to run through. Which one of these 1,000 pictures that are grouped around here do you choose? He needed a gradient scale take-apart, and that was not available until engrams graduated and went upstairs into Scientology. He needed a gradient scale take-apart. We're interested in engrams today simply because they impede clearing. That's all. All we're interested in is clearing. We can clear people faster by running engrams out of them and improving their confrontingness and thus get the rock and get all the fragments of the rock and get the track straightened out and so forth. We're doing a direct, overt job of clearing. It is very overt. Whether or not it's successful depends upon that technical quantity known as guts. And that's all. Now, this thing called a grouper merely means something that pulls other things into it. It jams a track. A lot of your occluded cases are stuck in a grouper. You get some piece of this grouper, and it slides out from under. Why did it slide out from under? Well, as a picture came off the top of the picture that you were trying to get at. There's no method in Dianetics that would have handled this easily. Now, you can strike one of these things, and the whole incident can collapse and sort of go out of sight and go totally unreal and Lord knows what while you're running a PC. But it's all under the heading of disappearance. He said, what is this silly thing? The more he sees of it, the more pictures apparently are plastered on it. What is it? Well, what is it? It's a grouper. It's not any mysterious new breed of cat that Ron didn't know about. That's sometimes an auditor's first impulse. He gets inadequate information and said, this now escapes what we know about.
This is something new that we know nothing about. Oh, yeah? I'll pay you 1,000 crowns and 1 pound of diamonds if you can find something in the human mind we don't know about. That's a fact. Legitimate offer, not colloquially made. You won't, I know. The bouncer doesn't worry a Scientologist. Incident is pairs, get it back. I've just given you the rule by which you do. The last largest terminal, the last largest mass that he spoke of, get it back. And then get the last largest mass before that he spoke of. You'll have the incident back. Wham! Comes right back. You can get it relocated in time if you're running a grouper. And now I said you could also relocate it in time. Well, all right. What about this thing called a grouper? Well, you wouldn't get the last largest terminal if you run into grouper, but you knew you were in a grouper all the time because he's told you there's pictures plastered all over it. Now, that's the kind of a grouper we're interested in. The Dianetic auditor never knew of this grouper. It was not a known phenomenon because he wasn't running totally past track material. And it's an electronic phenomenon produced by extreme heat and extreme cold. And you've heard me speak of vacuums before. And it's a space opera vacuum you're looking at that didn't necessarily happen in space opera times at all, but has been approximated in some fashion. Extreme heat, extreme cold, extreme electronic duress has resulted in a mass of pictures jammed in one place. You want the central picture. You don't want anything else. You want the picture that's pulling in all the pictures. I don't care what you do with the rest of the pictures. You should go in on it with a total understanding that you're looking for the center picture. You just tell them, well, we're going to run this for a while. You know, you don't evaluate enough for PCs. You know that, don't you? You see, you must not evaluate for the PC. And then you get that in your code, and I respect you very much for respecting this as an auditor's code, and you should do it. But do you know the PC needs information? Did you ever think of it in this way? The PC needs information. And if a PC needs information, you better give him some information. You understand? Don't go leave him in the dark about it. If he needs information, give it to him. Evaluation means something else entirely different that's mentioned in the code, is don't tell him what it is all about. Get the idea? He doesn't want you to either. But he certainly can use information. I'm not above if a PC gets into trouble taking my e-meter and parking it sideways so he can see it too. And say, well, that's the drop. That's what we're looking for right there. That's the drop. Now, I don't leave it there very long because he becomes interested in and starts fighting the meter. The reason a PC mustn't look at an E-meter will interest you very much is he fights the meter. That is to say, he sees it drop and he sort of takes his attention off it. His attention isn't on the incident. It's on the meter and you don't get drops. That's a good enough reason not to let him look at it, isn't it? He takes his attention off of the incident. You understand that? But you can show him a drop, and until his attention fixates on the instrument a little bit harder, he'll still get the drop for a little while. Why put him in a total mystery, you know? You can give the PC information. PC asks you for information, give it to him. He says, is that dropping? Is that what that's all about? Is that dropping? Is that why you keep asking me about it? Well, hell, at least say yes. Yes, yes, that's dropping. He says, very much? No. No, it's not dropping very much, but it's dropping some. And he said, well, all right. All right, that must be it then. And he goes back in with some new confidence of some kind or another, you know. That must be it. You say, he got an ARC break? And he says, I don't know. Look at him fixedly. We got an ARC break. Well, you get this kind of a reaction. Is it dropping? You dropping on an ARC break? If you are, I don't know about one. Well, if it's dropping on an ARC break, let's see if I can find what the ARC break is. Oh, that's dropping, isn't it? Well, I don't know.
I'm not conscious of any ARC brake that's upsetting things. Must be something in the incident. All of a sudden, boom, the ARC brake blows out, you know? Just show it to him. Show it to him. Don't go in a total mystery on it. Don't bother ever to explain why you did something. But if he's having a hard time running it, he's saying, we're trying to locate this incident right now that runs between 1900 and 1902. You say, we're trying to locate this incident. Now, we get it over and under on this thing on months and days, and let's see if we can't get this thing pinned. And he finally says, January the 1st, 1901. You show it to him, you know, you see, there it is. January 1st, 1901. Now, is it the day before? It's the day after? Now, of course, while he's looking at it, your meter is not as effective. That's the only reason you don't let him stare at it for long hours, you know? Meter's not as effective, but it does no harm at all. 1901, January the 1st, he says, well, I'll be a son of a gun. Well, I wonder what happened there. That's a funny one. That's a funny one. I could have sworn the whole thing took place in 1930. Is that why you keep asking about 1902? Well, it isn't, you know. It's 1901. I've got a recollection of it. Now, all of a sudden, he's grooved right on into the line. Get the idea? Now, if pictures and somatics are telling him he's there, what's wrong with an e-meter telling him he's there? And I'll go so far as to say, well, he'll say, well, I don't know, and so on. I say, well, I think you're there. I think that's it. He says, you do? And I say, yeah, I don't care whether it is or isn't true, but I'm going to try it on for size. He said, well, I don't know. All right, okay. I never get a kickback. Don't deny him information. About the horrible thing you can do to a PC is sit there hugging an e-meter to your chest, looking at the e-meter, saying, well, I've got private information here that you can't have, you know. Show it to him. You don't know these instruments as well as you should. You ought to really start flipping these e-meters around, doing tricks with them, you know. Carry them around, throw them at your friends. Get some male friend you have interested in his wife's career when he's not home, you know. Get him to get you out and run the wife on something to quiet his conscience or something. You know, do anything you want to with them, but do things with them. You know, throw them up in the air and catch them and put them on your desk and carry them around in the bus and give them to the old lady beside you who is muttering. You know, hand her the cans and so forth. You'd be amazed. People are fascinated with it, you know. All you had to do is bring an e-meter out and start looking at it, and somebody says, what's that? What's that? Well, you hold on to the cans. I'll show you. Get acquainted with this beast. And don't make it a stranger to your PC, either. Get acquainted with it. It's not a mysterious box. It doesn't do anything very much. It says yes, no, maybe, exteriorized, stuck, ARC brake. It just says these things. It won't talk to you. You have to talk to it. Now, when you look at a meter, and when you get somebody's drop on something of the sort, and he can't find anything right away, don't get impatient with him. Let's see what we can find around there. And when you're trying to find things like this, go into masses. You want masses. And when you get into this grouper, the bouncer, the down bouncer, the callback, things of this character are not anywhere near as important today as they were in early Dianetics. But that grouper is about 8 times as important because you're going to run into electronic groupers. And if you've ever tried to run a vacuum, if you've ever had anything to do with vacuums, you know what I'm talking about. Vacuums are roughies. They're real rough. Thing can have 100,000 pictures plastered on it. Just 100,000 pictures plastered on it and through it and around it. Now, how are you going to walk yourself through this? Well, walk yourself through it with a few commands and an e-meter and a few commands and an e-meter and a few commands and an e-meter. And you just say, well, boy, this is the wildest thing I ever saw. The fellow's told you there's pictures plastered onto pictures. And pictures keep shredding off of pictures and so forth. Well, remember this. Remember this. It's a grouper. And that'll be the toughest thing you ever took apart. And it's very easy to take apart. All you've got to do is scout it on the E-meter and get some of the stuff confronted. And scout it on the E-meter and get some of the stuff confronted. And as long as the stuff that's being confronted is being confronted well, don't bother the PC. As soon as he has difficulty, grab onto the last largest mass and have him confront that some more. Then, if he sort of runs out or doesn't appear to be going any place, do another scout on the E-meter and locate not the incident, but the grouper. Where is this grouper? You finally get it pinned down to a year, and then you get it pinned down to a month, and then you get it pinned down to a day of the month, and eventually you scout it down to a minute of the day. Oh, he says, that what it's all about? At that moment, it's liable to practically kick his teeth in. But the funny part of it is, any PC is willing to stay there. It's when you are auditing an engram and thinking it's the PC that you make mistakes. Now, that's a phenomenon you're going to run into. There are other phenomena of this character. Guy runs into the exteriorization bit just at the moment he exteriorizes from the head, and so forth, and all of a sudden the whole incident goes to hell. You don't know where it went, what it did, what happened to it, and it went out the window, and it's gone. You haven't a clue. Went. Disappeared. Well, it could have disappeared two ways. It could have just dropped back on the time track, or he could have gone out through an exteriorization. And of course he said irresponsibility at the moment he exteriorized from the head. But that isn't a tough thing to do because you can still run a linear incident from the beginning to the end. Well, don't think that every case you run into is a linear incident case because it's not. There is such a thing as a grouper. And there is no linear incident to run. And it's just nothing but total reality as far as wide as he can see. And any case in this unit right at this time that's running on unreality in masses and so forth, has either had it because of ARC breaks of one kind or another, or because he's actually chomping into some kind of a grouper and he's never even approached the central incident. The grouper's the dub-in case, by the way. It makes a dub-in case. One day you're running backtrack and you think, well, I've got everything in this whole thing confronted and I'm going to be clear, clear, clear in a very, very short space of time and everything is going to be fine, everything's going to be wonderful. You run into a grouper. You've got one. You say, oh, come off of it. And you say, is that what happened when Ron said 76 trillion years of all thought he was kidding because 75 of them are involved in this grouper? You were lucky you had free incidents still available to be run. And you finally run into one of these damn things. Well, all you do is locate it in time. That's all. You got to spot it exactly on the track. And just follow the law of masses. Just get the masses in it confronted. And anything else there is there to confront. You've got to get in there. You've got to show it up. You've got to guide it. You've got to hold it in place. And you've got to square it around. That's what you've got to do. You as the auditor. And it is another determinism to the PC over which he has no control, which controls him utterly. And you maybe, if you look at this for the first time, you'll see why there has to be an auditor. Actually, there doesn't even have to be much of an auditor to win. There doesn't have to be much of an auditor there to win. But it's another determinism. And he hits these spots of other determinism in the incident, and they determine him utterly. And he said, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, well, I think I'll go fishing. You know, it's said to get out or something. It's another determinism. And he hits this other determinism, he slides right straight on out of the thing. The auditor isn't there to return him back. Why, he's all set. Now, if you could see this as one of the old passion plays that they used to show, the old dramas they used to show around England, they used to have a wagon. And the angel comes down from the ceiling and the devil comes up through the floor. That famous, famous thing. That was the most popular thing they had. They didn't have very much drama in those days, and they unfortunately paid their penny and bought Christianity. But that passion play of one kind or another really wasn't a passion play. I've forgotten some of the things that the nomenclature of it. But they had the devil and they had the angel. This is an old space track implant, by the way, of about 129,200,000 years ago. And everybody gets fascinated with this one. And then they had the victim, or the pawn, or the soul, or the soul, whatever it was. and the devil was going to get him and tempt him, and the angel was going to get him and tempt him, and you're really running a passion play. Well, if you can think it over and look it over, you'll see that the auditor is trying to rescue the PC, and the devil is the engram. And they were dramatizing it right back then. But the auditor in this particular case is trying to do a rescue, and the engram is saying he shan't be rescued. It's almost as if the engram has livingness. It's being pumped into it. And if you can differentiate between the devil and the victim, why, you got it made. You got to do a differentiation, because the victim will always cooperate with you more than he'll cooperate with the engram if he finds out anything about the engram. Now, how to keep them in session, how to handle it, depends in the main that you audit and mean it. That you audit what you're auditing, not a process. That you come off a wound-up doll idea of the whole thing and just plunge right in. Now, there is a series of auditing commands. If you don't feel you can do any part of this, that at some unimaginable long period of time we'll still let you win all the way with a PC. And here's a process that gets you over all of these technical difficulties. One time or another, however, you're going to stick up along the line. You're going to spend yourself 75 or 125 hours grinding away with the PC going no place and you making no advances. You're going to waste time if you don't run the engram. You understand? But you can still win at a long look. You can still win at a long look. You still have a security. You still have a surety. And that is to run an auditing command as follows. What can you confront? And then, what can you confront for how long? What can you confront, you say? He says so-and-so. You say, for how long? He says so-and-so. And you say, thank you. Now, that will win. And the final horrible look. You may have to run factual havingness along with it and so forth. It's unspecific. It's upsetting. It very often isn't winning. So on. A PC is more likely to blow under this command than he is in the direct approach to an engram. But you can still hold him in. You can still run that one-shot command without locating any engrams. You will see them all go by. And he's been 76 trillion years in getting aberrated. So 76 trillion years in getting clear is not beyond your expectancy unless you address it on some swifter method. But you're at liberty to run this one command and neglect all the technology that you know. And if you don't want to sit on a PC's chest and rub his nose in it and get him really rolling through the incident and so forth, you can always run this other dodge, and it'll only take you 76 trillion years to make the goal. Thank you.